Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thoughts, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-95, the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, homicide in the black community. The black community has been plagued by gun violence and homicide. How did we get here? and what can we do about it? From MikeNutterLLC.com, Philadelphia. Just to give you a little history, from 1971 to 1975, we had over 400 homicides a year. 1974 had most at 444, 75 had 435, 73, 430, 72, 413, 71, 435. So we're going to speed it up to the day. And these were dates that I'm going to call these time periods before automatic handguns and rifles in Philly. Right? It was some guys that I think the Black Mafia had some that. But basically, that was almost unheard of, anybody pulling out any kind of the kind of weaponry they got now. Nowadays, AKs and all that, you know, M16s or 15s or whatever. So I'm just looking at 2020, 2021, and 2022. 2020, we had 499 homicides. 2021, we had 562 homicides. 2022, we had 516 homicides. So, I mean, for that's a lot. That's more homicides, firepower. That's not much of a difference. That's not a real big difference considering now a guy got a handgun and shoots 30 times, you know, and in a couple of seconds that he shot his load. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, as for Philadelphia and some other cities, the Black community has a history of violence. And it doesn't seem like the handgun, the weaponry, is an issue because we have different types of weaponry during these periods. Of course, in the 70s in Philadelphia, we had loosely organized criminal organizations that we call gangs, right, or youth gangs. And now we have what they call sets and gangs. They have gangs. Then you have small sets of people who fight each other to the death. I hear many people describe the violence in the Black community as gun violence. It sounds as if there is another, more acceptable form of violence. Let me say, you know, we got to stop the gun violence. You know, what about the other violence? You know. Fact is, we do not have a gun violence problem in the Black community. We have a people with guns problem in the Black community. We have a people who shouldn't have guns problem in the Black community. We have a people who solve their problems with gun violence problem in the Black community. We have a people who would rather kill or murder than to take a loss from a fist fight problem. We have people who are forced to use gun violence in defense of gun violence problem in the Black community, also referred to as the hamster wheel of death. We have people who seek revenge for the murdering or killing of a loved one, friend, group member problem in the Black community. We have bring a knife to a gunfight problem in the Black community. We have a total disregard for life, safety, quality of life, and peace problem for the members in the Black community. We have an absence of a strong spiritual, moral, ethical, social, psychological, political standard of living problem in the Black community. Guns don't kill, people do. The firearm is simply a tool to commit murder. We are the murderers. We are the killers. Our problem is a human problem. I like to refer to this experiment they did with these mice, rats, or whatever. I think it was called some rat utopia or something like that. I forget the guy's name. Anyway, they say it was an experiment about providing resources for a population and that population not being responsible to provide for itself, Some say it was an experiment. The experiment was indicative of a population growth. What would happen? Some say it was a failed experiment. But I saw some similarities in that what happened with these rodents, mice, rats, or whatever they were. And I kind of made a correlation between a relationship between that and what I see happening in the, you know, to black folk. So IFLScience.com says in this Universe 25, the Mouse Utopia experiment turned into an apocalypse, right? They said he took four breeding pairs of mice and placed them inside a utopia. So utopia, that's a place where they had everything they need, basically, just to make a long story short, right? They were healthy mice. The temperature was right, perfect for mice. And they made sure that they were free from disease and anything like that, so that that wouldn't cause their death. There were no predators, right? And mice are, I don't know if you know, mice are very social beings and things like that. The mice used the time that would usually be wasted in foraging, looking for food, right, and shelter, for having excessive amounts of sexual intercourse. They had to, so they fed the mice in the utopia, right? So they had free time because they didn't have to look for food. You just, there it is, right? So, you know, they had some extra time, so they started having more sex. About every 55 days, the population doubled. The mice filled the most desirable space within the pen where access to the food tunnels was of ease, right? So when the population hit 620, that slowed to doubling around every 145 days. Then the mouse society began to hit problems. The mice split off into groups, and those that could not find a role in these groups found themselves with nowhere to go. In the normal course of events, in a natural ecological setting, somewhat more young survive to maturity than the necessary to replace their dying. So we have more people surviving than needed to replace the dying. Excess mice find no social niches. They immigrate. So it's like, you know, you can't find no work, you immigrate, right? So the black people down south, they immigrated north, right? And because things wasn't right. The access couldn't migrate. They couldn't go anywhere. So now we have another problem, right? They found themselves with no social role to fill. So they became isolated, right? So the males who failed withdrew physically and psychologically. They became very inactive and aggregated in large pools near the center of the floor of the universe. From this point on, they no longer initiated interaction with their established associates, nor did their behavior elicit attack by territorial males at this point. They became characterized by many wounds and much scar tissue as a result of attacks by other withdrawn mice. So these guys couldn't fulfill their roles as mice, their social roles. So now we have this aggressive behavior occurring. The withdrawn mice would not respond during attacks, lying there immobile. Later on, they would attack others in the same pattern. All right, so we have mice basically turn on each other, right? The female counterparts of these isolated males withdrew as well. Some mice spent their days preening themselves. That's looking pretty, right? Taking care of their coats, shunning mating, and never engaging in fighting. Due to this, they had excellent fur coats and were dubbed somewhat the beautiful ones, right? The breakdown of usual mouse behavior wasn't just limited to the outsiders. The alpha male mice became extremely aggressive, attacking others with no motivation or gain for themselves, and regularly raped both males and females. Violent encounters sometimes ended in mouse-on-mouse cannibalism, despite or perhaps because their very need was being catered for. Mothers would abandon their young or merely just forget about them entirely, leaving them to fend for themselves. The mother mice also became aggressive towards trespassers to their nest, with males that would normally fill this role banished to other parts of the utopia. This aggression spilled over, and the mothers would regularly kill their young infant infant mortality in some territories of the utopia reached 90%. This was during the first phase of the downfall of the utopia. So it started off these sets of mice, and as a population grew, of course, you're going to have less resources, right, to survive, right? And less social roles also, right, to be fulfilled. They said these, they called the second death, whatever young mice survived the attack from their mothers and others would grow up around these unusual mouse behaviors. They never learned usual mouse behaviors and showed little or no interest in mating, preferring to eat and preen themselves alone. So I thought, I said, wow. Idle time facilitated a population explosion. The population explosion facilitated a food resource shortage. Food resource shortage facilitated deprivation and scarcity, which facilitated social emotional chaos, which caused the mice to form survival groups, some functioning within the social boundaries of rodent culture and others outside of the social boundaries of rodent culture. The absence of love, nurturing, validation, and social status, and the experience of constant trauma or victimization facilitated abnormal social behavior, self-adulation, and indulging in self-gratification by way of eating. They learned to be apprehensive of other rats, be socially distant, get what they need to survive, and look good doing it. Yes. It was a controlled situation, kind of like the way humans live today. Someone somewhere deprives someone somewhere of the resources they need to survive. People form unions, groups, and subcultures to socially support or prey on each other. The nature of the group is influenced by their ability to cope, adapt with the trauma and stress created and facilitated by the resource shortage or lack of control of the resource. I can see how a person or a group of people not receiving love, nurturing, validation, and is exposed to constant trauma and victimization would be apprehensive about their aggressor and possibly aggressors themselves. An attack from the first nurturer is rejection from the first nurturer. That is tragic, like being raised in a chaotic family and community with little to no supervision and guidance. This encourages the development of their own social standards. Socialization is how we learn to behave in society. A few learn to use violence to get what they want, and when they do, they are more likely to use violence to get what they want. Violence will produce an extremely fearful or extremely aggressive individual or culture. Under-resourced, disadvantaged, devalued, withdrawn from the mainstream society or culture, creating a new hierarchy or subculture born of the harsh reality of an abused, misused, diminished, devalued, hopeless, powerless existence. Some may become introverted and apprehensive. Some may become overtly aggressive. There is power and admiration and aggression and violence, like in the drug and gang culture. Anyway, the population reached 2,200, short of the 3,000 mouse capacity universe. And from there came the decline. Many of the mice weren't interested in breeding and retired to the upper decks of the enclosure, while the others formed into violent gangs below, which would regularly attack and cannibalize other groups as well as their own. The low birth rate and high infant mortality combined with the violence, and soon the entire colony was extinct. During the mouse apocalypse, food remained ample and their every need completely met. So what's happening here? You know, they had food, but they weren't able to fulfill some of the roles that they were that's expected of mice. Calhoun termed what he saw as, this guy's name, he had this experiment. He called that a behavioral sink. For an animal so simple as a mouse, the most complex behaviors involve the interrelated set of courtship, maternal care, territorial defense, and hierarchical intragroup and intergroup social organization. When behavior related to these functions fail to mature, there is no development of social organization and no reproduction. As in the case of my study reported above, all members of the population will age and eventually die. The species will die out. So I thought it was a very interesting experiment. If opportunities for role fulfillment fall far short of the demand of those capable of fulfilling those roles and having expectancies to do so, only violence and disruption of social organization can follow. At the time, the experiment and conclusion became quite popular, resonating with people's feelings about overcrowding in urban areas, leading to moral decay, right? Though, of course, this ignores so many factors such as poverty and prejudice. However, in recent times, people have questioned whether the experiment could really be applied so simply to humans. The end of the mouse utopia could have risen not from density, but from excessive social interaction, says Edmund Ramsden. Not all of Calhoun's rats had gone berserk. Those who managed to control space, their relatively normal lives. Operative word here is controls. As well as this, their experiment design has been criticized for creating not an overpopulation problem, but rather a scenario where more aggressive mice were able to control the territory and isolate everyone else. Much like with food production in the real world, it's possible that the problem wasn't of adequate resources, but how those resources were controlled. Say that again. It's possible the problem wasn't of adequate resources, but of how those resources were controlled, right? Greedy, powerful mice. Just think about that. Just translate that to greedy, powerful men, and you can kind of make a connection between this experiment and human beings. Not ignoring factors such as poverty and prejudice for humans, right? So I call that failure to thrive based on inadequate or disproportionate distribution of resources. While these mice had everything, they used their idle time to procreate, which increased the population, causing mice to multiply. Work has replaced foraging in the urban industrial world. So we don't forage anymore. We basically go to the store, right? We work, get money, go to the store, and get what we want. The population growth among these mice and humans with idle time created an excess of bodies and resources became scarcer due to the population increase and the lack of control of economics. But it seems like it basically was the lack of control of economics, right, that went on. You know, the mice don't do it with money, but the power to control the resources you need to survive, right? That's how you control the economics of the mouse utopia and us, right? The access rats couldn't migrate out of the colony, something they would have done in nature, right? Blacks migrated in the north from the south, right, to escape the cruelty of the southern hospitality and more gainful employment. These rats couldn't escape these aggressive rats, right? Some blacks stayed down south, right? Maybe because they felt that they couldn't move or whatever. When they try to migrate, they contribute to the population. When they do not migrate, they continue to the population growth and lack of adequate resources and are subjected to the behaviors of those who learn to prey on and exploit their unique vulnerability, right? Because this is a rat utopia. Normally, they'd be able to get out of there. They're stuck. That's almost like being in a prison and you got top dogs in there, shot callers, controlling everything, right? Anyway, so it seems to be other rodents preventing other rodents from getting what they need, right? Excessive social interaction is the experience of living in close proximity, having idle time, and not having enough resources to support social role expectations facilitated by population explosion. Now, that might have impacted on the mice also, apparently. That did, according to the experiment. If opportunities for role fulfillment fall short of the demand by those capable of fulfilling the roles and having expectancies to do so, only violence and disruption of social organization can follow. That sounds familiar in human culture to me. Maybe humans are not meant to live so close together, particularly with little or nothing to do to fulfill their aspirations. Maybe humans are supposed to depend on the earth as a resource instead of other people in the form of for-profit industries or government that is not by the people and for the people. And what I mean by that is predatorial groups, corporations, and so forth like that. Looks like we have a caller. Let me see if 8282. Do you want to say something, 8282? I'm going to open your mic. Did you want to say something, 8282?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Welcome to Provocative Thought.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you doing, brother?
I want to thank you first for choosing a topic of the utmost importance. You know, this is possibly the number one issue confronting the black community. But and you've been talking about the cause, the root reason for this, and it's all about, like you said, programming. But how is this programming taking place? How was it? When you remove a person's whole identity from them? I know people are tired of hearing about slavery, but when you bring somebody else, people over here and use them for labor, and take everything from them, take their language, their religion, their everything from them, you have a clean slate. So now you're able to program them. Because why? Because you control the resources. You control everything. You control whether they eat or whether they don't eat. So that's how programming comes in. You understand that when we grew up, black man couldn't call a woman a bitch. You had to fight.
For your
but
life.
Now they can program us to call ourselves bitches and hoes.
Right.
You know, so these kids don't care nothing about killing each other, you know what I mean? And learn about the guns, because, you know, we made guns when we didn't have Uzis, before we got Uzis and AKs and all that, which we have now. We made them. We made zip guns. You know, we made guns. You know, and things ain't no better, no worse now than they was then. But the problem is programming. You have to be programmed to kill yourself. You have to be programmed to not value your own self, your own cause, to hate yourself. You know what I mean? And the problem is identity. That's because they removed everything from us. We don't know who we are or what we are. So we'll be anything. We run around behind, trying to be Arabs, trying to be Moors. Now niggas run around hollering about the Hebrew, Israelites, all kinds of dumb shit. Everything and anything for the black man. You got to return to being a black man, and you got to take control of your resources. You got to produce for yourself. If somebody else makes the food that you eat, the heat for your house, you're a slave. He feeds your children. He feeds your woman. No, you're a slave. You always going to be a slave. But you want to stand on the thing talking about law, what, man, fuck all that. You got to go back to being a black man. Jesus is not your friend. You got to control the resources. Instead of standing on the corner talking about you forming a non-profit. To help the kids. You ain't helping no kids with no non-profit. You're helping the kids when you grow some food, when you produce some, when you get them women, when you go back in your house, kick them dykes out your house, and raise your children.
I'm not, I promise.
It's about identity. And until you're willing to be a black man, until you're willing to be a black woman and raise your children, you're going to be a victim forever. You got to be a complete faggot. Let somebody come in to your community and promote and make money and finance something called drill music and tell you it's your culture. You're a faggot. The first one, they should have stopped it when it first came to gangster rap, but it ain't too late. This fucking drill music, only a homosexual would allow that to go in their community. So it's about controlling the resources. You know, you look at the news every day. Every day there's a homicide, somebody getting killed. But guess what? They're all getting killed outside of poverty store. If you don't control the economics in your neighborhood, that's what's going to happen. Kids ain't doing nothing but what you program them. No alternative. Me and the fathers, you can't even be a man. Spraying red dye in your ear.
You're breaking up.
You wanted to say something?
Oh, you were breaking up. Were you saying something?
I'm saying it's about resources.
Right.
It's about taking control of your resources. Ain't no way in the world you could look your woman in the eye and you don't control the food that goes into her mouth. You're supposed to produce it. We don't produce nothing.
Right.
We produce it for them, and then go back and beg them for a return on our labor instead of producing it for ourselves. Your children don't raise your children. Children have no idea who they are. Why wouldn't they kill each other? They just doing what you program. I don't even understand the roots with his your own music. I was like, what? They spinning the block on each other for nothing? On some silly gossip thing? And these niggas, what they doing? They want to run down to the mayor and to the government for an answer. Help me with my children. You faggot ass nigga. Help me for my children. Be a man. Time for black men to be black men. Not nothing else. Be black men and control the resources and control the energy in their own community. If you don't control the finances in your community, you know, niggas let the some of Poppy your friend. Poppy ain't shit. Poppy came in your community and took it over with the money that he made destroying your community, pumping drugs in there. And can't nobody tell me they didn't, because I'm guilty just by president. I used to get 30 a month.
What about the booking?
From Poppy.
Right. Okay, so basically, you're saying that they are powerless even in their pursuit of gaining power. They're not actually gaining power over anything because they control nothing. So they consume.
They control nothing. They produce that. All they got us. So no matter, even if we get in a winning situation, we will tear the door off the mall to give it back to them. Buying Dior and Gucci and Dolce & Gabbana, you know, to finance some homosexuals. Nothing black people can produce has any value. They all want to pat on the head. All this, you know, prostituting their women, you know, it's a terrible thing. But it's all programming. Like he said, it's all programming. He's going to only program somebody who don't know who they are. And if they do think they know who they are, that's our definition. You got to start off by letting them know what a man is, what a female is, what a woman is. You know what I mean?
Right.
But this is what happens when all the resources from your labor are devoted to holding you down. Destroying you, you know.
All right. So, and you mentioned drill music, and you know, is extraordinary because I remember
that's
when
crazy.
Nobody talked about killing anybody, and it was a lot of killing going on, but nobody sat around and talked about it. Now they sing about it in a song, and
right.
It's real. That's kind of weird to me, but. You know, it's very, very rare. You know, now that people getting RICO cases from music or what that drill music that they getting RICO cases from just from that. So I don't understand these, you know, this generation, and that's how lost that they are. Even in terms of the old street, in terms of let me talk about creating other avenues of. Fulfilling roles that would make you feel like somebody, and even in the street level, this is beneath even that, because if you never talked about, you don't go around talking about who did what and nothing like that. But so I see a lot of a lot
that
of people
goes back
on,
to the definition.
Go back to who?
They worked with Jay-Z because the white man told y'all that he's a billionaire. Again, he not paid for rapping. He paid felony niggas. He sent to jail. Money and the thing. Anybody to teach you to risk your freedom to get some money to go give it away to some cracker is not your friend. And it's definitely not a role model. Rick Ross, they got you worshiping the police. You know, but it's all about identity. It's all about not knowing who they are. These kids don't know who they are. They don't know shit. They so fucking stupid. It's a damn shame. And
right.
Why? They talking about staying in school. No, that's why they sue. Because they sit in school. And none come out of school but stupid. And they're not teaching you nothing that's going to help you survive.
Right. Right. Because we talked about that on,
like
on the show.
They're going to get rid of it.
Right. We spoke about how schools are busy not teaching people how to be independent thinkers or anything like that. They breed
here's one of the best examples.
Followers.
Wesley High had an automobile auto class that was so great. The fucking kids built the car from scratch that competed in the international competition, won the fucking competition in France and in Europe. You know what I mean? But you know what they did? They got rid of that motherfucker. And guess what they did? When they moved to the, when they moved from the old building to the new building, they got rid of the auto class that was teaching them a trade that they could use and put them in the new building where you got two music studios so they could call their mom bitches.
Mm. Yeah, I remember that. And that technology, what did the car run on, like a gallon of gas or something like that? It was
something
like that, right?
They're building cars. They're awards all over the world. They say, oh, my God, we got to get rid of that.
Right.
But that's what happens when you don't control your community. Imagine that in the Korean community. Imagine that in the Chinese community. But we don't have no say. First thing we gotta do is we gotta recognize you're not no fucking Democrat, you're not no Republican, you're not no communist, you're not no fucking Christian, you're not no Muslim, you're not none of that. Before you was any of that, you was people building great civilizations before the white man had a shoe. Or window.
Which speaks to how people identify now with these, I said like Chicago, the street gangs or whatever. What kind of, I'm a little confused with the rap thing. And I don't know if it's a rap group or a rap gang. I don't know what it is, but it seems to be gang members that are rappers and that contribute. That's who they are. They identify largely with these,
they started that a long time ago. Promoting that faggot ass Snoop Doggy Dog. Somebody should have blew his fucking brains out when the fuck he came out on stage with leashes on black women, walking black women like their dogs. But they started promoting this and that fucking crip walking shit. You know what I mean? Somebody should have killed that nigga then.
So basically we have there's a absence of a moral compass in the community, identity and boundaries and
lack of identity and an unwillingness to punish our treasures. We gotta start punishing those who betray the black community. That's the only way it's gonna stop.
Which kind of difficult because these guys have dug such a hole with this whole murdering of each other that they they are not willing to cease fire, not willing to turn it around, and, you know, which is self-destructive. I mean, if you're in a struggle with somebody that's trying to kill you, you're trying to kill them, you can only... You know, I heard a guy, King Vaughn, he said, there's no way out. Just go to jail or you get murdered. That's it. That's it. They got guys that's just thinking about it like that. But not saying that all of them do, but, you know, we just have people with that mentality that this is never going to end until you kill me. Yeah.
Call.
Yeah.
We came up in that shit, and we survived it. We was killing each other. We could have looked both ways before we came out of our door, before we came off our porch. You know what I mean? They flipped out. They did this to us in one generation. So if they can do us in one generation, we can undo us. All it takes is for black men to stop chasing the fucking Gucci bags long enough to do something in the community. Fucking, what's that low boxer nigga? With the money? No. What the fuck is a nigga? The boxer just about $7 million in a Gucci shop.
Floyd Mayweather.
It's got to come a time when we step up and take an example so beautiful like him. He's a perfect example of a clown. Killer. He ain't doing nothing for nobody. What purpose is he serving the black community?
I don't know what he does. I know he buys a very, like you say, he buys very, very expensive jewelry.
He spent $7 million in a Gucci shop in South Africa. Like, I ain't in that shit. I give everybody this money.
Right.
Because they gave him this money. They own him. They own Jay-Z. We got to do something to stand up to support those who are trying to do something. Right. Now, I believe Meek Mill is sincere. I believe he really wants to help. But if you don't know what to do, you're going to do some dumb shit. You know?
So Meek Mills is doing something and he's giving back. He's reaching out.
He's trying. But he's one of our children that we let go. We ain't raised them. We ain't put no support around them. Them fucking Jews and crackers. The only ones he seen was any power. So he reacted to that power. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Them Jews stepped up and helped them get out of the situation and stood behind them. And they throwing crumbs here and there. You know what I mean? So he's trying to do, he want to help the community. But who he has to go to? Fucking Cornel West? Fuck no. That faggot ass Triple Agent, sellout Negro. You know what I mean? We had no duty. Who? Farrakhan? That's the shit of this deal. Now, you remember back when gangster rap was first to start? Farrakhan had the power to send this man to the airport. Tell them to hold. Ain't no concert here. No, you niggas call women and bitches. Oh, no, you're not coming here with that bullshit. He had a problem. He had to shut that shit down. What did he do? He ran around extorting them out of change, squashing beef. He's been an agent from the door. We got to start punishing our traitors. You know, I be looking at these niggas running around trying to be, you know, these niggas worshiping these Arabs and shit. That ain't how it went. All these niggas in Philly dick dodging. They became wannabe gangsters trying to imitate a real gangster. They trying to imitate Sam Christian. You know what I mean? And that's how they got caught up in this wannabe Arab shit. But after Dave, you can tell they ain't know him because he wasn't for none of that bullshit. And he wasn't even greedy. Wasn't even about money. That was a good brother. Everything he did was from the heart. Everything he did. Y'all, these thick-ass niggas. But I'm telling you, until black men decide to man up and have enough courage to be black men and have the courage. Now, here's the other thing. You got to have the courage to stand up to white men over deciding the future of your children. No, Cracker, you ain't doing this. No, you ain't doing that. No, you're not passing this. I don't give a fuck what laws you pass. You're not doing this or you're not doing that. That's my son. My right. children. We got to stand up and defend our children. Children don't have no reason not to turn on, not to blow our fucking brains up, because we ain't stood up on one.
Okay, so it's time for the black man.
I ain't no almighty, high mighty stuff, because I'm guilty just like all the rest of them. I spent my life chasing money instead of chasing money. I spent a good portion chasing money, and I was chasing black freedom, African freedom, too. I was trying to build it. So I ain't all bad. I'm saying, we got to stand up and defend our children. We got to put an end to this drill music, put an end to this dumb shit, you know.
Right. So we got to kill all those negative images and ideologies that kill us. They kill us spiritually,
right.
mentally, and physically.
Right.
Because it's a death. It's a death, and politically, it's not, we don't even reach a political level because we're too busy ducking bullets, pigeoning home
yeah,
and stuff like that.
We don't even recognize what political power is. Koreans, certain shit is not done to them because they ain't gonna go for it.
Right.
You ain't got to always. You ain't got to be on no picket line. You can just hold. This ain't going. We ain't going for that.
Right. This is a conversation that we have about how come all the destruction and of the individual, the soul, the spirit, the character is all, you see a lot of that. The media is portraying that and it's always related to black people. You don't, had a conversation about it. Where's the white group that's talking, calling white women bitches and hoes? Right? And
yeah,
where's
right.
Where's the white boy right. talking about gunning down white boys? Where is he at?
No. Hell no. That's because we don't have no power. We don't exercise no power. We can stop that shit tomorrow. We got to go in these churches and slap the shit out of them niggas too. We hold in here. We hold school. Fuck with you, Thomas. We're going to do this and the other. They produce books. Every book. They got an annual book. They know how much you fucking collard greens and Cheerios or whatever that we eat in Philadelphia in a year. Why we can't provide that? Why we can't take over the resources in our community?
That's a good question. Because we certainly in a place where we had at least a financial capability of doing that.
We had the money. Right, we had the money. There's no reason for us to be taking a hit because we chasing the wrong rainbows. But that's all because we don't know who we are. That's our identity.
Right.
Anytime you're trying to replace the hole in yourself with a Gucci bag, you got a problem.
Right. That's true. You spend all your hard-earned money.
It's about identity and resources. And we can flip this thing back in one. All we got to do is tell niggas we're not tolerating, you know, even the women. You got to go back in your house and take control of your children. You know, they got to call ourselves bitches and hoes.
Actually,
you know,
women call themselves bitches now.
Yeah, because they waged war. It was all strategic programs. They waged war on the black woman, start incarcerating them at a vociferous rate so they could homosexualize our women. All that shit ain't no accident. It's warfare. It's war. No fucking. And if you don't realize you're at war, you're on the other side.
Okay, so we need to. So black man needs to stand up to be a man, right? Be a rat.
All you gotta do is stand up and be a man. Stop running downtown begging the cracker for them. Every time somebody get killed, niggas is on the radio or on TV or on Instagram talking about the mayor got to do more. We need the city to do more. We don't need the city to do shit. Think Timothy give a fuck about you? You think? No, they just had a mayor. They just had a mayor contest, right? And all the white people was trying to promote different business plans and talking about I can do this and I can do that. You know what the black woman did? Said
what?
You remember the commercial? Yeah, I'm the best candidate. Why? Because I'm an unwed mother, product of the school system. Bitch, you the worst motherfucker. You the last nigga that should be elected. She said every reason not to vote for her. But they made her man. I'm a single. I can't hold a man. And they programmed, they fucked my head up great. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'll get in there. You can talk about whatever you want. But until we control some resources, you know, like John Henry Clark said, we should form a group, make the churches put up the money, whoever. We have the money. Go to every public store we want to. Said, look, this is what we willing to pay you for this store. And every day you tell me no, the price is going to drop. But ain't nobody else coming in here. You know what I mean? Whatever we got to do.
Right.
Take control of our community. Because in a minute, it ain't going to make no difference. They coming with CBDCs. They coming with 15-minute cities. The cracker ain't sitting on his hands. He working around the clock. And this game is headed for self-destruction. Man, I'm telling you, if we don't move to control our resources, to control our food, to control our water, we got to produce our own, we got to all that. Water, let me tell you the priority in life. Water, you can't live for 3 days without water. Food, shelter, security, and heat. If you don't provide them, you ass out. And them young boys that don't have no identity, that don't know who they are, don't care nothing about each other, gonna be running in your house. What do you think? You see what happened with that George Floyd shit?
Right.
Fresh Crosser. That motherfucker ran up in Fresh Crosser like it was dead. And niggas put a forklift and took a Mac machine out of Wells Fargo right on 52nd Street.
Right.
What you think they gonna do when these motherfuckers try to close?
Okay, so
if we don't stand up as men to put these young boys in order, you know,
right.
we supposed to be able to issue them out like regiments.
Right.
Platoon C, go here. Platoon, you know what I mean?
Right. So if the black man has failed his community because he's not standing up in defense of his community.
Right. That's right. He's scared.
And that helps perpetuate what we see today.
Yeah, it's time for him to stand up. You know what I mean? Time for him to stand up. He wanted it. These niggas nowadays, they getting along with the dykes. They talking about school. Oh, he cool. He this, that, and that. This is a motherfucker. Unnatural. Aberrant. Trying to make you obsolete. Trying to make you an option. And you want to get along with him. Punch that bitch in the mouth and tell her, go be a man. Go be a woman. Don't come back to your woman. Niggas gonna hate me, but that's real. You can't do it. You know what I mean? Because with all the shit that we done went through, all the shit that the crackers done to us, that homosexual shit is a checkmate. Because if they can get, we done took everything men threw at us. But if they can get men to want men and women to want women, checkmate. So.
So that way, I guess you're saying that men want baby to men can't act out their roles if they're not trying to be men, right?
Right. You gotta be a man. First off, you gotta know what a man is. See, the white man didn't touch you. That a man is the nigga who can get all the pussy, who can drink 2 bottles and still be standing. That ain't no man. That's a faggot. That's a scared nigga. You know, that's a non-functional nigga. So you gotta define, you know, I know the difference. But you can't be if you got the wrong, like, if I tell you to build the boat and I give you the blueprint to an airplane, I don't care how high you try, that bitch gonna sink. You got to know what you're trying to be first. You know what I mean? You got to go back. That's why identity is so important. That's why you got to go back and learn who you are. And it ain't no fucking Israelite. It ain't no more. That's some baggage shit. Them selves, the traitors. So you got to go be a man. Gotta be a man. You gotta be a man to your children. Children, that's all they looking for is God, leadership. Lead by example.
Well, it seems you know what I mean? That has been destroyed in some communities, not all, but some communities in terms of parental guidance and leadership. That has been destroyed. For example, we had a guy from Philadelphia. Rapper, he went to California, and a mother and father sent him, the son, in to get this guy's, rob this guy. He robbed him and killed him in a restaurant, Roscoe's Chicken and something. I don't know. You see, but so that's how far it's deteriorated. You know, we have actual family members. It's not saying that that's unusual, but, you know, that's how far it's gotten. The people we have, adults, perpetuating the same type of behavior, murder, actually, you know, thief and thievery and murder.
Right, because they're not adults. You know what I mean? Anybody that go on the capital crime with their offspring could not be a man under no definition.
Right. Which means that's where defining what a man is comes into play.
Yeah.
Right. Having a moral standard, you know, moral compass and responsibility, as you said. So we lack that, and we're lacking that, and it's not enough for that, and that's why we have this explosion of
so we're not holding each other accountable, you know what I mean? I've seen it happen. A rat, low-life bastard that you know ain't shit. Come home and you telling everybody don't fuck with him because he ain't shit. But if he got a couple dollars, niggas open their arms and take him right back in. That's why we have to stand for something.
That's part of the, like you said, programming. That's part of the programming in capitalism. You know, your food is green. Your desire is green. Everything, you know. So that's part of the programming, that you value material gain over respect and and you, for that, you turn, like, you know, that's how you have people turning against each other, you know, like in the hood, you know. You know, if you're not able to succeed, you might be a little depressed, oppressed. And, you know, we got the gathering at noonday, and it might become violent towards each other, just like these rats did. So, you know, I know we're not rats, but we sometimes seem like we seem like rats trapped in a not a utopia, though. We're not in any form or sense of in a utopia like these rats, mice were, but we seem like we're trapped, and we develop these characters of who we are, you know. We find release, as you said, through drugs, and some become takers, some become predators, or self-imposed kings of the streets, you know. And with that, that's the way they thrive, and that's where we are now. And I guess it's you call drill music or whatever. What's it called? Drill music.
Drill music, yeah.
Drill music. So what does drill mean? Drilling, like shooting somebody?
All of the application of the same studies that you was talking about in the beginning. This is those studies put to work. You know what I mean? It's the lessons learned from the observation. They learn what works and what the outcome is going to be.
Right.
Put Negroes in certain situations. That's why they invented the projects. That's why they called them a project. Because it was
a project.
It was a learning experience as to how niggas going to act bunched up together with no trees.
Oh.
You know, excellent.
Mm-hmm. So in the long and the short run, the community takes the intergenerational hit for this type of lack of responsibility, moral, ethical responsibility and accountability. It's an intergenerational hit because this is not something that's new, as you said. It's not new. We've seen it coming up. Right.
Hell no. Jesse Jackson was a staunch fighter against abortion. He took that money. Then he became a defender of abortion. It was all the preachers. A lot of them that was halfway decent fought against the project and abortion notes programs. It was all case studies and how to eliminate niggas. And, you know, all you got to do is give one nigga halfway... Yeah, decent life. So that's what the same politics stuff is. You know what I mean?
Away.
The Negro politician, he gets a better life, not the same life. He don't get the equal life in the cracker, but he gets a better life than the regular Negro in exchange for leading the regular Negro to their destruction.
Right. That's called selling out.
Yeah. Yeah, they do it. And the only bad part about it is, the worst part about it is how little they settle out for. That's a heartbreaker. When you find out what the motherfuckers actually got for betraying their whole community, you know what I mean? But I guess getting nothing ain't much different than getting a lot. Look at Jay-Z. He got a whole lot. So what's the difference? He's still a piece of shit.
Talking about the one you
stole, a piece of shit. Okay, so those who failed to obtain roles... to success through established avenues, make their own way. And that's what we got going on now. They created their own way. And it's been through negativity. So maybe we need to kind of like start, like, we're promoting these, this, like you said, drill music, killing black men, you know, and doing, you know, going to jail and, you know, stuff like that. Maybe we need to start putting, because there are black people who are doing things, like you talked about the kids at West. Even though they went away, that car should be on them. That's what we all should be driving right now. But I guess the oil industry and the automobile industry didn't want that to happen.
Oh no, they
kind of
go.
Right, and that's why. That. Right, so that's why I was saying that we shouldn't be dependent on these people, because they don't have our. You shouldn't depend on a person that doesn't have your best interests at hand. You shouldn't be dependent on them. You shouldn't even be in cahoots with them, because they don't have your best interests at hand. I mean, they're using your energy to do what they want to do, and that's usually stepping on you.
So I control resources.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Right.
Motherfucker is crazy. Goddamn cat.
This mouse utopia. You ever hear this Calhoun's experiment about the mouse utopia? You ever hear that experiment?
The mouse what?
The mouse utopia. You ever hear of that experiment before? That's an old experiment.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. I read about all that.
Yeah, I know. You probably read about it before I did. Right. Yeah, so, you know, that was like mouse-on-mouse crime, right, of proximity and opportunity. That's what we have here today, because they said that the strong ones, right, the people who had the power, and which is why when you look at people who have the power in society, they rule. So it doesn't. Even if you do have the resources for everyone to eat, they prevent people from eating, and those who challenge them, they kill.
Right.
So, and that's the kind of system we kind of being confronted with. I don't know if you heard. I know you remember about the story about Ron Brown. What happened to Ron Brown?
Oh, he's talking about when they killed him.
Right.
In the helicopter.
Right. They say he died in a car crash, but they said he had a hole in the back of his head, right?
Right.
It was not consistent with a plane crash. So they said the crash that he was in, that he had a hole in the back of his head, which that
man, there's a whole bunch of them.
But that doesn't mean you don't stand up, because if you're going to die anyway, as the last poet said, better to die for a cause than to die just because.
Just
you're gonna
because,
die.
That's right. That's right. We got a long way to go, but I'm telling you, the thing that keeps me going, like, they did this in no time, so we can undo it.
Right.
All they can supposed to stand up. You know, John Henry Clark always used to say, the best way to get a motherfucker off his back is to stand up. Motherfucker can't stand your back if you stand up.
Right, that's right. If you're not bent over, you're not prostrating yourself. Right, got
right.
you.
Yeah, okay. The best way to get
them off
back is to stand up.
All right, so if anybody listening out there, we, you know, that's a message. Stand up. And,
thank you,
man. Be responsible. So, this violence is facilitated by years, centuries of social political oppression, isolation, and how individuals respond to or react to the social political oppression and isolation. There lies the problem and the similarity between the rat utopia and the disenfranchised black community. We are not rats, but sometimes it feels like we're trapped like rats, or should I say, some of us are. Some of us sometimes or most times. Can't get out of our own way. We have to want to understand and end this nightmare in order to wake up from it. Until then, we will remain in a coma of trauma. So we, you know, and you know, in agreement with you, we have to stand up and do something. That's exactly what we need to do. And that doesn't go without anything. Any gains we have gotten in this country, on the planet, it's always been some losses. You know what I'm saying? So you can't use that as a reason not to stand up. That you know, make an effort, not here. You know, Martin tried to talk, and you see, that man was just about talking. Hey, let's talk it over. Let's, you know, and he got shot, gunned down, a shot in the throat. You know, so we have to, you know, do something, stand up. You know, Grandmaster Jay, you know, he tried to stand up, and they locked him up for flashing shining a flashlight on a roof. You heard about him? Grandmaster Jay, the NFC.
Well, they killed them.
No, they ain't killed. No, not the rapper. Grandmaster Jay, the NSAC coalition, the soldier. Yeah. They locked him up. He was. I guess he was a little scary, you know. But he was standing up, and they incarcerated him. They locked him up for flashing a flashlight on a roof. To see if it was it was a threat to them. Right. Yeah, so they locked him up. I think he was trying to give him like 7 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's consistent with, you know, the Black Panthers. They locked them up too. And they killed them. They murdered them, killed them, locked them up, right?
Yeah, fucking Abdul Shakur just died.
Who just died?
Mutual Shakur.
Just died?
Yeah, that's the one that broke the side out of prison.
Right.
Yeah, he just died in prison.
Hmm.
All that time. He's been locked up since then.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, that was the motherfucking man. God damn,
the and another thing that we got the hit with this thing about black on black crime. They use that to say that black people are killing black people, when we know crime is like I said, crime, violence is a crime, and crime period is a crime. They are crimes of proximity. If you don't live in a predominantly white neighborhood, then that's who you're gonna commit crimes on, the people in close proximity. Guys don't usually go, you're going to kill what's next to you. You're going to rob what's next to you. So white people have the same problem. Right. White people have the same issue, but nobody's saying anything about white on white crime like that, you know, so.
And they ain't have done to them what's been done to us. They don't have the psychological trauma that we got.
And like, I'm just to quote you, but this thing about property, where you see something being repeated over and over again, right? That's not a coincidence, right? So you see poverty being repeated in certain conditions,
you know,
areas,
you know,
with certain people. That's not a coincidence.
Right. People are always talking about, that was then, that was the past, I'm not a victim, I'm you stop complaining about that. Wait a minute. It's a totality of resources accumulated from your rape and enslavement are devoted and used consistently against you. Then they, how the fuck are you going to say stop? The war never stopped. They still fucking with you. You know what I mean? They still using everything they got that they built off of you against you.
Right.
You know, all that shit would be great if we was in a perfect world. Like, if you removed everybody, all right, it's not going on no more. No, they still fucking me up.
Right.
They still blow my brain out if I get caught in the wrong place. You know what I mean?
And that goes for Obama, too. Black president of the United States. He can't go anywhere he want to go in the United States, in this country.
No, I don't know.
Without, You know, they're paying.
And the motherfucker told you. They did an interview. That motherfucker told you, look, he don't know how to drive no more. He don't go nowhere without them. That nigga ain't crazy. He knew he a nigga. He kill his dumb ass. Let him go to this part of Chicago. They're trying to make it look like he from Chicago. Yeah, fuck that nigga up. They catch him now. And this phone don't work.
All right. I'm going to have to close this show now. I'm going to end this show now. Look, I want to thank you for calling in, brother. It's good hearing from you.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I miss you too, brother. Believe me.
You got that picture I sent you?
Yes, sir. I sent you a couple more things. I know what I'm fighting. You got to check your Instagram.
All right. We'll do that. All right. I want to thank you again for calling in. We appreciate you. And I want to thank everybody for people who called in, people who download the show. Please don't be afraid to press one to speak. Your opinion is appreciated and respected on this show. But in closing, I just want to say to everybody, you know, as the brother just said, we got to stand up for ourselves. You can't ask people to solve the problem in your house. It's your house. This is our house, and we need to do something about what's happening in our house. So stand up. Don't be afraid to stand up. You know, things happen, and, you know, like you said, we're going to better to die for a cause than to die just to cause it. That's from the last poets back. When was that? Back in the, what was that? The early 70s, last poets?
Last poets. That one there, it was real early 70. Has it been like 72, 73?
Well, yeah, you know, we have to, you know, there have to be a us. You have to see a us. As long as we in all divided and all these cliques, you know, like we used to be back in the day, you know, Hoop Street, June Street, the Moon Gang, and all these things, they don't help us grow as individuals. That just makes the gulf between us wider. We need to see ourselves as one, start acting as one, and start being as one and for ourselves. We have to do that like yesterday. And I don't know how much time we have because we don't really have time, because you exist in time. You don't have time. You exist in time. So no time like the present. I'm going to say that about us standing up for each other. And I'm going to just give a shout out to Grandmaster Jay for standing up. And I think I saw this thing about this video with these Hebrew Israelite guys, 500 of them descended on Old Block. I don't know if you know about Old Block. That's the place in Chicago. And they was talking out, you know, was telling people, you know, to stop the violence and, basically, doing that kind of thing, which is a step in the right direction. As black men, I think it looked like about 500, maybe it was 200, but it was a lot of them. And Old Block is infamous for having a the black disciples fighting the gangster disciples in Chicago. Them guys are killing each other like like he's supposed to do it, and I'm not joking about that. It's unreal. Not that Chicago's the only place, because we have Philadelphia. We have serious problem, but I haven't seen any kind of large effort toward that. You know, we have little pockets of people doing things to stop the violence and things like that. But it's really bad, and it's not. We don't have a gun problem. We have a people problem. You got to deal with the people. You put it
on
the table.
No, everybody tells you get rid of guns. Better get some more guns.
Right. We don't have a gun problem. We have a people problem. I'm gonna stick to that. So until next week, y'all, I wanna thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, all my callers and listeners, and my special guest tonight. You want me to say your name or no?
Sure, Shango Amen.
thank you for calling in. And until next week, y'all, each one reach one, each one teach one. And remember, if you didn't get nothing from the night, stand up, be responsible, reach out to the people in your community that they need guidance, nurturing, love, and respect. Until next week, y'all, peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck on The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.